Now, the question we've all asked at some point, even if that point was a short time ago when you walked in here, or maybe just a couple of minutes ago, why do we celebrate the first martyr on the day after Christmas? What a buzzkill, right? We're all happy and giving thanks for the light coming in the darkness, the birth of Christ. Jesus is here, right? Or we've merrily gathered with family and friends, and we've shared gifts, watched Christmas movies, the whole bit. Stephen's a bit of a downer, isn't he? Right? This quest to figure out our patronal feast day has led me down so many different rabbit holes in the last couple of days. I'm not sure what I found, which actually may be the best part of the story. Before there was the feast of St. Stephen, there was an old Celtic tradition about a wren. Anyone know this one? Anyone know about this? I'm sure you do.
Totally.
A wren is a small songbird. It's often found in bushes and near people. It's a social bird. It likes to be near civilization, which is worth keeping in mind. The Celts in Northern Europe, most notably in Ireland, would hunt the wren as part of the solstice festival, the day after the big festival day. And it seems that there are many conflicting stories over the last 2,000 years about where it began. But one makes the most sense to me. The Celts didn't carry the Jewish purity concern around blood and bleeding, right? And we heard a lot about that in the readings. Lots of blood. They understood that blood and birth were linked. We can see in creation a beautiful order to everything, a cycle of life and death and constant new possibilities and opportunities. Right? And they knew that this was something women and girls knew personally. And therefore, boys and men had to be taught this connection. Not just life and death, but of blood and birth. So during the festival of creation after the winter solstice, they would send the boys out to hunt a wren, and they would use the blood of the wren to renew creation. This was part of the so the boys could come to understand and play a more important role to the community in renewing creation. When I looked further into this Celtic tradition of hunting wrens, I found much of this story was absent outside of what I had heard a scholar talk about. As much else in our world, medieval traditions have obscured our origins and eclipsed their purposes. The wren became known as the king of birds because of its cunning, right? The myth they told was that God sponsored this great contest between all of the birds, that they would rise to see how high they could fly, and then they all flew up toward the heavens, right? And one by one, they started to get tired, and so they would drop out of the race until the only bird left was the eagle. Strong enough to go to the upper reaches, right? But it eventually tires out too. And it begins to slow down and its wings begin to slow. And right as it starts its descent, the sneaky little wren that has been hiding in its feathers dives up and flies higher than the eagle could have gotten and wins the race, right? And becomes the king. What a way to go. So this part, this king of the birds piece continues. The cunning steals the crown. That this sneaky character became central to how people treated this poor songbird that just lives in bushes. Many came to believe that it was the wren which betrayed St. Stephen. So many people believe that the hunt of the wren, even up to today, is based on this bird's sin. It sinned at one time, so let's kill it now. Many would stone wrens this day, like they stoned St. Stephen. And these boys, rather than learn about the life cycles and their part in renewing creation, became more like a band of brigands. They'd go along in this parade and then they'd extort money from the people. There's part of one of our give a halfpenny, right? Part of that actually comes from this song that they would sing, in which they would go trying to get money from people as they paraded this wren through the town. In other traditions, in other words, a tradition the community made to share in the redeeming character of creation was overrun with toxic masculinity, fear, and bloodlust. Because people like to kill. The more I dug into these stories, the more they seemed like explanations written after the fact. Couldn't find the real, really. They didn't go about killing wrens because of Stephen. They were already killing wrens before Stephen was there. Right? The more obvious explanation is also more simple. People were more drawn to the killing than to the renewing. They liked that better. That explanation made sense to them. They didn't want to learn about the way of the world half as much as they liked dressing up and hunting the elusive prey. It justified the desires they had to kill because they were practicing their tradition. Tradition overcame its purpose. So, what does this have to do with Stephen? When the Christians met the Celts, they saw this festival of creation as dealing with the same ideas they found in their faith, right? The incarnation of God in Jesus match the incarnation of God in creation. They saw in this sacrifice of the wren the same character as the martyrdom of Stephen. And looking at how Wren Day or Wrenning Day has developed since, we can see an inverse correlation to Stephen. We can see how the people's fear and justification was taken out on the wren like it was Stephen. We can see that the traditions which grew to love the hunt more than the creation distorted the feast of St. Stephen. The maintenance of ideological purity sent the people out to project tradition and to make martyrs of wrens rather than learn the lesson that they teach. So we can ultimately see in the wren that same character as Stephen. They're a small songbird who dwell among the people and whose voice proclaims the glory of God. Stephen was the first deacon and the first martyr, which makes him someone a few of us really wish probably we ought not to emulate. I mean, if we're being honest, we don't want to be like him. Even if that would make us first in line with God, that being stoned to death part is a pretty high price to pay for that first class seat. So maybe we're good with Coach. Most of us are good with Coach, I think. But it's a sense of sacrifice and giving which makes the Feast of St. Stephen such an important day for Christmas, right? In relationship to Christmas. The British have an old tradition of calling today Boxing Day. And etymologists can't really find a reference to it before the 1700s. And then it was a day of gift giving to those who supplied services to us, right? So thinking of it like giving a bag of cookies to the bus driver who takes my kids to school, or an apple for the teacher, right? But it may have a more Stephenly origin. For many, it is the day in which we box up offerings to the poor, the hungry, and the homeless. And the more I thought about this tradition, the more it sounded like what we do this time of year especially already. We collected for the Salvation Army and Toys for Tots before Christmas. And then we have the homeless point-in-time count at the end of January, just under a month from now. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be bagging up stuff, so we're going to have a bagging day with heavy Ziploc bags rather than boxes. Right? So we do Boxing Day throughout the year. So the question many of us walked in with, why celebrate the first martyr the day after Christmas, is actually quite simple if we think about it. It reminds us to expand Christmas. That Christmas is not just babies and gifts. And the story isn't all joy and cheer. That even after the light has come, there is darkness still. It doesn't entirely disappear. But our work is simply to share the joy in a world of sadness, thanksgiving in a world of anxiety, and hope in a world of fear. And maybe for us especially, share in Jesus' life-giving hope when we seem surrounded by a culture obsessed with death. And if we're as wise as our ancestors, we can draw on the beauty of creation to give us wisdom, not justification, hope rather than despair. That our voices and our boxes may proclaim the glory of God.